You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Is it too late in the process, though, to change that?
Nothing's too late, bro. Everything's made up in politics.
The Wire.
Algerian boxer Iman Khalif was the subject of a widespread disinformation campaign during this year's Olympics, with commentators and netizens from right-wing spaces alleging that Khalif had been assigned male at birth and should not have qualified to compete in the Women's Olympic Boxing Tournament. No medical evidence has been given to suggest that Khalif had XY chromosomes or elevated levels of testosterone, and the International Olympic Committee issued a statement saying that Khalif fulfilled all the requirements needed to compete in women's boxing. However, this did not stop our own Deputy Prime Minister Winston Peters from contributing to the disinformation campaign against Khalif, making a statement on X, formerly Twitter, saying that Khalif had failed a gender test and that NZ First fought for gender rules in sports to be in their coalition agreement. In response, concerned citizens Anthakatapui, Louisa Wall, and Samantha Green launched a petition on Our Action Station calling for Peters to be held accountable for his comments and for legislative framework to be established for officials who peddle disinformation. For this week's Get Action, I spoke to Louisa and Samantha about the petition and their calls to the government. All right, so to start off, tell us about the petition and what your calls are.
Firstly, the petition is to hold the Deputy Prime Minister accountable for some of the mis or disinformation that he has posted on his social media account in relation to the two female boxers, one from Algeria and one from Taiwan, that have recently competed at the Paris Olympics.
How widespread is disinformation and fake news in Aotearoa, and how severe have the impacts been?
That's a really good question, Otto. And I think the reality of our situation here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, is we're not like Germany, France, Singapore, Australia, where they have specific legislation to counter disinformation. And through that legislative vehicle, they can actually hold people accountable, make them correct or remove disinformation posts. So through orders, and also they can suspend accounts, there are financial penalties, and also in some situations, public reprimands. And I guess from our perspective, the issue that we have primarily is that the Deputy Prime Minister of our country was propagating disinformation against two women who had met the IOC rules to compete at the Olympics, and he blatantly referred to Imam Khalif as a biological male. And from our perspective, that has fueled a lot of vitriol, a lot of abuse. I think Khalif herself termed it as bullying. And it's unfair and it's uncalled for within the context of the Olympics, obviously. And I just wanted to acknowledge Sam because she kind of started some discussions on Facebook and in other mediums and asked me directly what I thought we should do about it. And if you don't agree with something that's happening, I think it's incumbent upon all of us to call it out. And essentially what this is calling it out and asking for, some formal frameworks within our society to hold people accountable. And in this particular instance, it's to hold Winston Peters accountable.
Aside from the comments made by Winston Peters, are there any other incidences where you've seen disinformation or fake news have an impact on the public sphere here in Aotearoa?
There's lots of disinformation happening about this issue, about trans women, about, I suppose, the global pushback around gender equality. And from my perspective, as a takatapui, as a member of the LGBTQIA+ community, I obviously take particular interest in anything that denigrates and tries to tear down people based on their sexual orientation, gender identity, gender expression, sex characteristics. These are human rights issues. And so there are a lot of other examples, but from our perspective, we're using this very specific example to highlight what we think is a problem in Aotearoa, New Zealand, and we don't have the frameworks to deal with people in these positions who are part of propagating disinformation, which causes division within society and enables people to tear down and to discredit and to, as I said before, bully, harass human beings within the context of the Olympics have worked so hard to get there, to be able to just, you know, be there in the beauty of the bringing together of countries from around the world to compete in a sporting event and to represent their countries. And both those women obviously were successful, but they were, it took an emotional toll. And this isn't the end of the story. I mean, there'll be ongoing, I guess, reflections, hopefully, and analysis about, you know, the rules and who should be able to play sport and why. And if there are differences in sex development, then supporting the IOC to go through a very deliberate process with the medical practitioners and those who are experts in their field to make sure that we uphold all the virtues and values of the IOC, which is about fair competition, but it's also about inclusion and the world being able to come together. And I'll be really corny, but in harmony and in peace. And what we've seen is not a lot of harmony and peace directed at these two women, just completely uncalled for.
I'd like to touch on something that Louisa said, two words, human being. You know, we're talking about two human beings, and for our Deputy Prime Minister to spread something that, and he uses it in the name of free speech, but what he has said isn't backed up scientifically, that there's no proof behind what he has said, and any form of sex testing for sporting has crumbled under scrutiny, so there's not enough information either way. And the Deputy Prime Minister hasn't acted with integrity or professionalism or inclusiveness. And this is how people are going to see our country. And I don't think it's right.
Do you have confidence in the government to do what they can to clamp down on disinformation and possibly even hold Winston Peters accountable for his comments?
I mean, at the heart of our petition is we urge the Parliament to strengthen regulations and oversight. So they need to develop some legislative framework around disinformation. And as I wanted to highlight earlier, other countries have done this and other countries have tackled this issue, but there's particular scrutiny on public figures because they have such influence and they have platforms. And I guess that's the other disappointing aspect for me is that the Prime Minister has an abundance of resources at his fingertips, so he can verify the information that he puts in the public domain. So there's really no excuse to propagate disinformation and to harm a particular sector of our society who are already vulnerable and marginalised as it is. But this has had consequences to a number of other members of the community. But because it's such a transphobic attack, it's affected members of the trans community. And that's not what this issue was all about, but it just provided an opportunity for the haters to just, some of the discussion is really disgusting, dehumanising language. And so that culture of disinformation that feeds that, I think that's what we want to stop. And yeah, we do have hope that it will promote transparency and truth, that it will foster public awareness and education, and that it will encourage responsible communication. And at minimum, we demand that of everybody. But in this particular case, I just am flabbergasted that someone who has such a high office in our country can be involved in a disinformation, and I'll call it scandal.
Lastly, can you tell us about the specific steps the government needs to take to combat disinformation and hold our officials accountable for propagating it?
Well, I mean, it's really about listening and hearing the voices of citizens. And, you know, Sam and I involved in the discussion, there are many others, but we just had to act and we had to do something. And we encourage as many people as possible to sign the petition, because in doing so, they're also now saying disinformation is an issue. We have to do something about it. They may have their own examples. As I said before, we've just highlighted this very specific one. And we do need a legislative framework. So this should be in the purview of the Minister of Justice, and they need to do something about this. But
personally, for me, the petition is extremely important. As Louisa said, we've come across this countless times, the disinformation and speech that fosters hate and division. And we all know where such speech has led the human race in the past. And I think the Deputy Prime Minister's attitude shows that some of us haven't really moved on from what's happened in the past. And, you know, we're a society that strives for tolerance and understanding, and it's crucial that our leaders set a positive example. And you know, the Deputy Prime Minister's post about Khalif not only reflects poorly on him, but also raises questions about the values and inclusivity of our nation. You know, I don't think that such behaviour should be deemed acceptable at our highest levels of government. And everybody in this country, whether you're a visitor, whether you're a resident, whether you're a refugee, whatever, whether you're part of the LGBT community, whether you're not, you should feel that you would be treated equally in our country. And I kind of hope that our petition may be some learnings for people, and that it gets some traction and the Deputy Prime Minister is held to account and there are measures put in place so that people on such a platform can't use the speech or use their platform to spread disinformation that causes harm, because it's not free speech, it's harm.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95bfm.com/bcasts.